Sustaining It Live with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.
Hello, Rita Steele.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Now, last week we had that big news that Auckland Council was cutting 1,000 bus trips because they were 500 drivers short or something ridiculous. And are we going to cover this off?
I think it's necessary to do so. So I started looking into it when we talked about it last week, and it's such a relevant topic for, I would say, most of the listeners. I remember when I was at uni, and I would say 90% or 95% of what I did was reliant on some form of public transport. So and it is kind of a complex area, and it's also the news at the moment because of our new mayor as well. So I think it was kind of worth diving into. And honestly, it's like, where should I start with this one? Because we've had the 500, or the 1,000, you know, as you said, the 1,000 routes we've had.
Yes.
The Western line just constantly, rail line just constantly cancelled to the point where, you know, you had councillors tweeting like, you can't be serious. and then we've also got a whole bunch of rail closures coming up over the next year for the City Rail Loop. So it's actually like, you know,
it's pretty dire
at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, a texter got in touch last week when the story ran on BFM News and said it's just crazy that we've been encouraged to ditch the car, catch the bus. There's been a whole lot of inner city parking which has been removed, people have to pay like hand over fist for parking in the city. We're trying to save the environment here. But suddenly they're cutting bus services, which people are reliant on.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a really difficult one because I think parking, but putting aside the issue, the sustainability issue,
yes,
you know, pumping money into the car network is kind of nuts, because if you make driving easier, then more people do it, and then you just fill those roads back up again. So, you know, it's so important that the way we get to people driving less is to improve the public transport system, not just make parking super expensive, you know, because it's like that carrot thing works so much better than a stick. And it does feel like they've jumped the gun on a bunch of things when there just really was no, you know, the public transport system just seems like it's really fragile. You know, I mean, it takes one little thing on the rail line and you've got, you know, thousands of people not sure how they're going to even get home. So, you know, I think just going back a little bit, it's really important for people to understand that Auckland Transport is what's called a council-controlled organisation. So it's actually not, I mean, it's not run by the council in the same way the council is, if that makes sense. So it's sort of run somewhat independently, and although the council does vote for, or does appoint 50% of the people involved in those, they do work very much so in their own way. And I think that what we're seeing is the collapse of that structure. So, you know, and there have been a handful of councillors and mayoral candidates and, you know, the current mayor who have really spoken out about the CEOs for the council-controlled organisations just being kind of a bit out of control. And I think, you know, a really good example of the Auckland Transport piece being a bit of a mess is, you know, if anyone lives in an area where they've done one of these cycleways, you know, the trials of the cycleways, and they've put up little sticks or whatever. There's a handful of them around the city, and everyone in those places seems to have bitched and moaned about them. And because a lot of the time they're in really ridiculous places. And if you, you know, talk to the local boards of those places, a really good example of this is Glen Eden. And when you talk to the local boards, they didn't really get a say in it. They got a couple of options, but all of the options were kind of dumb. You know, all of the options didn't feed into what the network was kind of already doing. And I think, you know, there's been an open letter that our new mayor has written to Auckland Transport, calling for the local boards to have a say. And the entire purpose, as far as I was concerned, and I think the rest of Auckland, when the Super City came into power, we were given these local boards to ensure that local voices were being heard, that, you know, planning came from the bottom up, and at the moment it seems to be coming top down.
Yes. I've also heard some stories recently on a different issue where the local boards have charged ahead with things without consulting the public.
I mean, it's really hard to talk to any of those without knowing what they are. But,
yes.
I mean, to be fair, the local boards don't get a lot of... They don't really have any teeth. But they don't really get a lot to do, to be honest. Like our local board gets given a very small fund every year to do something. And it's literally like you could pretty up the area a little bit or, you know, give a few grants out here and there to local community groups, but it's nothing of any significance, and it quite often will then not necessarily feed into you know, the bigger picture because there's not enough money to do that. And you know, there's these kind of projects, like another example was there was this one that was about getting people to love their streets, and the local boards were all given like a budget and three or four options of how to get people to, you know, engage in their street and enjoying the roads without cars being on them. And for some people that was, you know, hosting like a party on, you know, closing down the town square and having a party. And, you know, some of those things just did not make sense. And you've got local boards going, man, we just want to get some decent lighting over there because that walkway is dangerous or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's not how the money's being allocated. So it is, I do feel for the local boards and you know, for you know, all of the things that we can sort of disagree with that the new mayor's doing, I'm hoping that rattling some of these cages and giving the local boards a bit more power in terms of getting that consultation from the locals and doing what locals want is going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the transport piece is really interesting. I've got so much here, but the one thing that stood out to me, because I was kind of, I haven't been a fan of Auckland Transport for a little while because of some of the things I've been doing. And they created this fantastic, you know, everyone in Auckland, 75% of Aucklanders voted to do something to improve our emissions from transport. So there was a plan put in place. And then basically the council kind of, like, refused to kind of implement any of it. And then it had to go to court to be like, well, this is a mandate from your, you know, constituents. You kind of need to act on this. So there's a whole lot of stuff that's kind of gone on in that space, which isn't ideal. And they've recently released the transport emissions reduction pathway, which is really good and has a few, like, you know, quite great goals. But the stat that I saw, which is honestly quite horrifying, so 65% of Aucklanders, or two-thirds of Aucklanders, support cycleways, improvements in cycleways, right? Yet, in their last fiscal year, 21-22 fiscal year, they expanded our cycle network by 4%.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking horrendous.
It's nothing.
It's absolutely nothing. And considering how many bloody trials they've put up, how many complaints there have been about these trials they've put up, you would think they would have expanded the network more than they have. So, you know, I absolutely think that this is just the system imploding, and we need something that's going to work better and deliver on these goals. Because everyone, I think, if there was easy public transport, everyone would be happy to take it. But at the moment, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, totally. What price, if we're going to put a figure on, what do you need to be paying a bus driver to get more bus drivers in Tamaki Makaurau?
I thought that they had improved on it. From what I understand, some of the ways that they were tendering the bus services was a problem. And I think they may have fixed this, but it was basically like they'd put out a tender for, say, the Hibiscus Coast area or the Pakaranga area. And then they would, and this is not my area of expertise, but it's my understanding of it, was that then these companies, like your Ritchies or whatever, would all tender on it. And they'd kind of go for the cheapest one. And a lot of the time those savings were coming from paying the drivers less and less, and that kind of had happened over time to the point where it was a pretty shitty job. And now I think it's gone the other way. I think it's not written into legislation, but I think there is some living wage kind of angles to those tenders, at least, so it's at least considered. And the government sounds like they've just put in more money to bump the pay of bus drivers. But I mean, any company, anyone that's not being paid a living wage, it's as simple as that. They can't afford to live, and in some other way in society, we would be subsidising it. So, you know, what's a fair rate? Minimum living wage, and then, you know, there's probably some pay for risk and you know, rosters and all that sort of thing that is carried on too.
Mm.
So yeah, it's a shortage of workers, you know, as well. So, you know, then you've got questions like, well, are there pathways to, you know, residency for some of these people that will come in and do these jobs? Or, I mean, it's so complicated. And when I started researching this, I was like, oh my God, like, this opens up, you know, so many other, it's a wicked problem, right? Like, it's so intertwined into different, you know, government agencies, and I don't think it's going to be solved quickly. But yes, you know, the plan that they've put out there is good, but it's just delivering on it now. And I think, you know, the mayor has shaken some trees, and we've had a bunch of high-profile resignations, which, you know, who knows what that's got. Hopefully that's a good thing, but, you know, and you get lots of smart people rising up the ranks, but you can equally in those times get a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing, sort of a power vacuum.
We've had a text come through saying, my hop card was a negative, so I phoned AT to see if there was a top-up machine in the vicinity of Ponsonby Road, but no, had to go to K Road and Queen Street to top up. Absolutely nuts. And an insight into how difficult it actually is to top up your card unless you're near a train station or a major transport hub. I'm not sure. This person may not have a credit card.
Not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't do it online, then it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like back, like when I was a kid, you used to be able to go into pretty much any dairy and just get a bus card, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Or even on the buses. Like, surely they can. Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
Just these sound like easy solutions. Yeah. So that's it for me. I mean, the only other thing I would say is that, you know, while all this politics and kind of ego is going on, we're getting further and further behind, and further behind our goals. And the council records are saying they're expecting a population to reach 2.5 million in Auckland by 2050.
Yes.
So it's like, dear, this is going to be awful.
Get on top of it.
Get on top of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Rita, thank you very much, and we'll chat with you next week.
You have a great week.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.